Hello, my name is David Lane from Points East West Veterinary Services, and today I want to talk about a research paper that we did that was published in the April 2016 Canadian Veterinary Journal, and it was called The Effectiveness of Combined Acupuncture Manual Therapy Relative to No Treatment for Canine Musculoskeletal Pain. So this was a randomized, blinded, controlled study in which we looked to find out if combined acupuncture and manual therapy actually did anything for the comfort of dogs. So what we did for this research is we did a media blitz, kind of social media, newspaper articles, television interviews, asking for applicants, owners of dogs who had painful or restricted movement, to go to a website where they run the background and the research and they filled out a survey. And then based on the answer to that survey, we found out if they met our inclusion criterion and were selected for the study. And basically, one of the things I wanted to accomplish with this research was to mimic as best I could real-world situations. So we didn't get very restricted in who we'd accept. Basically, if you were limpy, gibbly, stiff, or sore, you were in. The only ones we excluded were cases of confirmed degenerative myelopathy or any other chronic progressive non-treatable condition, but I think the only one we really rejected was a degenerative myelopathy case. We used questions taken from the Helsinki Chronic Pain Index as our indicators of comfort. We added some other validated questions as well, mainly relating to the ability to go up and down stairs. A lot of these owner outcome surveys don't ask about a dog's ability to go up or down stairs because it's a very regional question. If you live in Saskatoon or anywhere in the prairies, it's unlikely to be an issue that comes up. We live in the coastal mountains of BC where pretty much every house has stairs in it, so it's a lot more frequent presenting complaint, and so for purposes of this research we added that on top of the questions from the Helsinki Chronic Pain Index. So the owner was informed that there would be sham appointments, that not all dogs would receive treatment in all appointments, and then we took these dogs and separated them from their owners. We treated half the dogs and then put the other half just to sit in the cage for half an hour, and then they were returned to the owners. And so there was the dogs were divided into two groups. There was group A, and for the first two appointments, group A dogs went and sat in a cage and had nothing done with them, and group B dogs were treated. And then for the next two appointments, group A dogs received treatment and group B dogs went and sat in a cage. So it was sort of a double crossover research format. The numbers we had, however, made it more amenable to doing a repeated measure. So we didn't do, in the statistical analysis, a full double crossover analysis. We just sort of compared each dog to how they were doing relative to before. Again, in the interest of trying to keep things realistic, we wanted to include exercise modification as part of the therapy plan, but we didn't want that to be a complicating variable. So dogs were put on an exercise restricted program for a minimum of 2 weeks before the research started. So our primary measure again was owner outcome measurements. So they answered these questions based on the Helsinki Chronic Pain Index. So they evaluated how their dogs were doing on day zero, and then the dogs had a period of exercise restriction, and the owners evaluated them again. And what we found is that exercise restriction on its own made no significant difference in terms of how well the dogs were doing negotiating their environment. And then each dog received two appointments of combined acupuncture and manual therapy. And basically, for the manual therapy, it, depending on the case, was either chiropractic manipulations or physiotherapy-style mobilizations. I kind of flit back and forth between the two just as a personal preference. And so, and no effort was made to distinguish dogs that received one or the other. Similarly, for acupuncture techniques, I did both Chinese medicine acupoint style acupuncture, and I also did dry needling or trigger point therapy, and no effort was made to distinguish who received what. It was just, everyone just got whatever acupuncture manual therapy was needed to address the issues that were found. So when it came to statistical analysis, we used an ANOVA type design. And again, it was a repeated measure. So each dog was used as its own control. We looked at it, how was it doing before the research started, when, and you know, before treatment started, immediately before the first treatment. How did they do after their first treatment session? How did they do after their second treatment session? And how did they do 8 days after their second treatment session? And looked for, again, owners indicating if they had improved comfort or not. One of the questions that we asked was about vocalization, which again is taken from the Helsinki Chronic Pain Index scale. And apparently we didn't communicate well enough what was meant by vocalization. The answers were all over the board. When we went back and talked to the participants, they were factoring in things like whining to be let outside versus whining from discomfort. So we ended up having to drop that question from the occasion. It just from the analysis, because it just wasn't helpful. So in the end, by the time the various dropouts and exclusions were done, we'd originally taken in 59 dogs, but the final analysis was done on 47. 21 different breeds, you know, 13 were mixed breed dogs, 10 were labs, 3 German Shepherds, and the remaining dogs were purebreds, represented by only one or two different representatives. The average weight was 26 kilograms, pretty even split by gender. And I should mention that most of those dogs that were excluded, 11 of them, were because the owners failed to show for one of the scheduled appointments, so we couldn't get all the data points on them. So, of course, this whole thing was a little nerve-wracking for me because a substantial portion of my annual revenue comes from treating dogs with manual therapy and acupuncture, and wouldn't that suck if I proved that everything I did was just placebo effect? So I had a fairly vested interest in hopefully seeing that this stuff actually worked, because I wasn't really looking forward to going back and just giving vaccines and treating for skin disease if this ended up being placebo. But thankfully, it's not placebo. It actually works. So again, when exercise restriction was initiated on its own, there was no significant change. However, as soon as we initiated the first treatment, we saw an immediate improvement. Improvements were seen in the dog's ability to walk, trot, jump, and rise from a lying position. As well, the owners observed less stiffness after long rests or following exercise. We did those observations were made 6 days after the first treatment, immediately prior to the second treatment. And then we looked again 8 days after the second treatment, and patients showed significant increase in play behavior, ability to walk, trot, jump, descend stairs, and rise from a lying position, less stiffness after rest or exercise. Improvements were also seen in mood, attitude, and the ability to go upstairs, but those changes did not achieve statistical significance. The going upstairs was bloody close, and when she did the statistician did the initial analysis, it was significant, and then she corrected for some other variable. And do you guys remember that Far Side cartoon where, you know, when people talk to their dogs and the guy's saying, "Ginger, you're a bad dog, you shouldn't have done that, you know, bad dog, Ginger," and it's like what the dog hears, and it's just blah blah blah, Ginger, blah blah blah, Ginger. That's what it's like when statisticians talk to me. So you know, if you're into stats, my apologies for not being able to give you the detail on this. It was explained to me a dozen times, and it's gone from my head. The bottom line is she did math wizardry, and when she looked at other variables, the going upstairs just fell shy of statistical significance. Probably if we could have gotten 10 more dogs in our sample size, it would have been significant. For those of you who like p-values, so our improvement in play behavior, it was a p-value of 0.015. Remember, that anything below 0.05 is significant. Walking was less than 0.001. Trotting was at 0.002. Jumping at less than 0.001. Descending stairs at 0.003. Rising from a lying position at less than 0.001. And reduced stiffness after rest was at less than 0.001. Or stiffness following exercise was at less than 0.001. So those were all some pretty happy, significant p-values. No contest that prior to treatment, dogs didn't get better. As soon as they started getting treatment, dogs got better. So yay, I don't have to quit my day job. The p-values for the other factors, for mood, it was 0.539. For attitude, it was 0.078. And again, for upstairs, it was originally 0.014, but again, this statistical wizardry happened. We didn't get to count going upstairs. We looked at some other variables, like whether the dog had a specific single leg lameness versus like a regional hind end lameness, whether there's a history of urinary incontinence, whether there's a diagnosis of being paralyzed at one point, which was defined as being recumbent, unable to stand for at least a 3-day duration. There were also diagnostic findings, whether they had a previously undiagnosed cruciate ligament, elbow OA, carpal OA, shoulder muscle pain, pain in the anticlinal region, iliopsoas pain, abnormally positioned pelvis. I was struggling to try and describe that phenomenon to people who don't do manual therapy of the pelvis, but you know, any of the litany of pelvic issues that those of us that do manual therapy find, or existing hind leg conscious proprioceptive deficits. And when we looked at those variables, none of them were any more or less likely to respond to this treatment. So they all did equally well, which some of it surprised me, because, you know, it would be, I'd get a cruciate dog and thinking, okay, it's a cruciate, I didn't really do much for your knee, I just did some other stuff, but owners felt that the dogs did much better after the manual therapy treatment, even though we never really did touch the primary problem. The other thing to get out of this is, of those variables examined, there were no contraindications for using combined acupuncture and manual therapy. No one did worse or failed to respond to treatment. A couple of things that we did that never actually made it into the final paper. One was we looked at the incidence of pain in the anticlinal region, and 88% of dogs that met the inclusion criterion for this experiment had some degree of anticlinal pain. If you had hind end paresis, statistically you are more likely to have pain at the origin of your iliocostalis muscles. And one of the things I did was made a little predictor scale. After I saw the dogs the first time, I predicted whether they wouldn't respond well, you know, get much of a difference on therapy, whether we'd get like a decent response, or whether we'd get like a super awesome, fantastic response. Like, I just broke it down into those three categories. And then we looked at owner's perception versus my prediction. And we learned that my predictions suck, that there was very little correlation with who I thought was going to shine in terms of responding to the treatment, and who actually did shine relative to the other patients. So I've since, despite all urges to the contrary, just stopped trying to make predictions. I'll just treat the dog and tell the owner, hey, we'll just sit back, see how that worked, reevaluate in a week, and go from there. So in summary, there appears to be good support for the hypothesis that one or two sessions of combined acupuncture and manual therapy provides immediate short-term improvement in dogs' comfort and mobility, as demonstrated by owner-observed changes in play behavior, walking, trotting, jumping, descending stairs, rising from a lying position, and stiffness after rest or following exercise. This is really the first paper to look at this in dogs, and it has the advantage of talking to potential referring veterinarians who are looking for evidence that manual therapy and acupuncture work. You know, we finally have some. this paper didn't look at acupuncture individually or manual therapy individually. So again, we've only demonstrated that the combination of these two modalities improves comfort. But at least finally, there's some evidence.